I'm glad to be in God's house this morning. Amen. Take a Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And when you get there, I want you to stand. Ephesians chapter 6. When you get there in your Bible, I want you to stand. Okay? I'll explain. If you don't know why, I'll explain why here in a minute. All right? Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Are we ready? There's a reason why we're doing this. Now, some churches, they'll do this every time the sermon starts. They have, when they read the scripture, they stand. That's not just a tradition that we do. It's actually in the Bible, and I'll show you where that is in a little bit. Don't do it so much here, because if you were to stand every time we read a verse, you'd be on your feet a lot, which is fine. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because I'm telling you, God will take your might away from you. Trust me. Trust me. He'll take it away from you. Why? Because He don't want competition. Okay? I'm not competing against the Lord for who can stand the longest. I'll lose. I already have. So be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to do what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to what? Verse 14, stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Thy word is truth. Amen? Amen. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. The Bible calls it the word of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peter said that it's the word of the gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So if I take 1 John 5:7 out of your shield, how will you be able to quench the fiery darts? Won't work. Can't take verses out of the Bible and think you've got the shield that you need. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who?
All saints.
All saints. We're going to pray here, and I want you to pray for somebody in this room today. Okay? Could be me, could be the person next to you, could be the person standing in your shoes. But you pray for somebody today. Pray for the folks online that are missing out on this. Pray that we'll get it online. Just pray for one another this morning. Pray, because we're living in an evil day, and I'm going to show you just how evil it is. It's bad. Folks, it's bad. It's getting worse. Heavenly Father, God, I have no strength today. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for what you brought me through this week. And Father, some people don't understand that. But Lord, if I teach people about suffering, I'm not supposed to be exempt from it. And Father, forgive me, Lord, if I've had a bad attitude. Father, forgive me, Lord, if I've taken this the wrong way. I thank you, dear God, for bearing down on my flesh. Thank you, dear God, for weakening me. Lord, it's not good for me to get too strong. It's not good, Father, for me to get too high, too high-minded. It's, Father, it's better for me to be laid out, worthless, useless. That way, God, your strength and your power would be manifested. God, if anything, and I mean, Lord, if anything good happens, today, it'll be you. It will not be me. And Father, I thank you for that. Pray, God, that you bless these people. Lord, they bless me so much. I pray, God, that you would just enable them and visit with them. And Father, just encourage us, God, in this evil day. God, we're not about to give up. We're not about to just let go. We're not about to just just lay down and roll over and just let evil just take over. Evil is going to spread, Father, and we know that. And Father, we just soon it have to go through us if it's going to go. So, Lord God, just give us something, Lord, we're standing up for. Help us, Lord, today. Help me preach today in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, turn around, hug somebody's neck, shake their hand, tell them you love them before you sit down. Amen. Amen. That's sweet. Then you may be seated. I was praying about this yesterday and was sitting there. I'm just going to tell you, I mean, I believe the Bible. And some things I don't understand, but I believe it. And Matthew come over to the house yesterday and he brought me a hat. Bless his heart. Brought me a cap. I like to wear caps. And he brought me a camouflage cap with some company's logo on it. And so I was wearing that around the house, and I just like to wear a cap, you know. It just feels comfortable to me, especially when you get up and you don't want to fix your hair first thing in the morning. Just get up and put a ball cap on. Go. Amen. And so I was sitting there studying, and I had that cap on. I thought, well, Lord, man, I need help with the message. I was fixing to pray, and the Holy Ghost is going, you going to pray? Yeah. You going to pray with that hat on? No. Number one, my ancestors would come up out of the grave and snatch me bald-headed because I was taught when you pray, you remove your hat. But you see, it's not just a silly tradition. The Apostle Paul told us as men that it's not right for us to pray or prophesy with our head covered. Now, you can say, well, it doesn't really mean that. You're kind of taking that too far. I'm just telling you, the Holy Ghost said, Mike, are you going to pray with your hat on? And I said, no, I'm not. And I pulled my headphones off, took my hat off, and I prayed. Amen. And God gave me a message. Amen. God gave me a message. And, you know, just looking at different ways to preach this, and it just clicked just like that. And I thought, boy, that's it right there. And I'll present it to you like this. I mean, think about it. I like to watch, I told you, I haven't watched it in a while, but I used to like to watch Judge Judy a lot. And I like her or any judge that'll take these stupid gang thugs or these idiots coming in court. One guy walks in to a courtroom with his flip-flop thongs on, his Bermuda shorts, had his old t-shirt on, his old hair all messed up, everything like that, and come into court like that, and she stared him down, and she said, when people come to court, they respect the court by appearing in a certain fashion. He went, what do you mean? She said, you're not going to the beach. You're standing before a judge. Have respect. I agree to that. I agree to that. When you go in a courtroom, and you've said, and I've seen these people, these young guys sitting there, I'm fixing to get in trouble. In court, now, keep camera on me, John, okay? Here they are in court like this. And the judge comes in, the guy says, all rise, and he kind of goes, you don't do that in court. Amen. You know, and we don't have a king in this country, but if we had a king or a queen in this country, I guarantee you when the king or queen showed up, you'd stand. And it's proper and it's right. If you go into a courthouse and you're in a judge's courtroom and that judge comes in, you stand up. You stand up. That man or that woman in that courtroom, boy, I should not have done that a while ago. That judge deserves the honor and the respect of the people in that courtroom. It's not because he is a better person than anybody. He has been assigned by the people of this nation to sit in a court of judgment, and that court of judgment should be respected by everybody who steps in there. I know this country has problems, but it still is the greatest country in the world. It's not the government, it's the people. And there are some things that are worth standing for. Amen? Some things worth standing for. Listen, I want to encourage you. Be like me in this one respect. You see these old guys with them military caps on? Stand. Give them the honor for what they did. They did. I couldn't join the military. I've had back problems since I was a teenager. I would have never made it. I got high arches. I'm pathetic. I could not have done that. So for the guys that could, they deserve my hat off. They deserve me to stand in honor and respect of them. These guys are worthy of us to stand up for them in honor of them. Are you getting where I'm going with this? Okay, it used to be when a woman walked into a room. How did the gentlemen in that room deal with that? They would stand up, remove their hat, or tip the hat to the lady. And if there was not an open chair in that room, then the gentleman would stand up and give that lady a chair. Now, I don't care what Gloria Steinem and Ellen DeGeneres has done to a lot of the women in this nation, but I still think there's a lot of women that don't mind a little gentlemanly treatment every now and then. Open the door for one. Open the door for somebody at Walmart, or open the door for somebody, or open the car door for them, or carry the groceries out for them, or do something for them. There's people, the elders in this country, they still deserve our respect. Amen. They're worth standing for. And so that's what got me. I saw one verse in the book of Psalms last night, and I went, that's it. That's it. There are things still worth standing for. Number one, John was waving it back there. God's Word. Amen. Psalm 119, 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. And this is what it was. This is what got me. My heart standeth in awe of thy Word. Amen. My heart standeth in awe of thy Word. When God's Word is open, it's read and preached and studied, and the man of God is going to open and give attention to the Word of God. Number one, you ought not be chattering. Number two, you ought not be texting or checking ball scores or on Facebook. Amen. You ought not be dead. That's the Word of God. Listen, here's your judge. The judge is in the courtroom, people. When we go stand before God, He's not going to just arbitrarily say, well, you know, I kind of like Ian, but Ryan, I just had a hard time with him, and so I'm going to put him down. And that's not how God does it. God's going to judge us according to His Word. And if you've ever read this Bible and saw something that just made you weep, or saw something in here that just, you were just going, I never knew that was in the Bible. I never knew it was things like this. I never knew that about God's Word. If you've ever done that, God's Word will make you stand in awe. Amen. See, that's what got me. I went, boy, there it is right there. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, in fact, you can turn there in your Bible, Nehemiah chapter 8. I love this because there's a typological picture here. Typological, I love typology. In the last days, listen to me now, in the last days, Jesus Christ is going to stand before God, His Father, and He's going to walk over in. God's got something in His right hand. What is it? It's the book. Jesus is going to walk over and He's going to take that book. And when He does, He alone is worthy, and He's going to start loosing the seals that are on that book, and He's going to open that book. And when He does, you know what I think is going to happen? I think God's people are going to rise. Isn't it cool? I think God's people are going to stand up. Look at this. See, here's a picture of it. Nehemiah chapter 8. This is after they've come back 70 years of Babylonian captivity. They've been in bondage. They've been in prison for 70 years. God allowed them to come back in the land, but a lot of them don't know the law. They don't know what God expects out of them. They don't know anything. They haven't had any Bible teaching in 70 years. And they were starving to death. So Ezra, the chief scribe, gathered a lot of the Levite priests, and the Bible said he stood behind a pulpit of wood. And he took the book. You know what he did with it? He opened it. Now I'm going to tell you something about this book. This book is so powerful and so awesome. Look at what happened. Look in your Bible. Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Do you know who that is? That's Christ. Because he's high and lifted up. Amen. He's above all the people. Amen. He's high and lifted up. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now, who told them to stand up? Nobody. Amen. You know what was in their heart, Sister Pam? They had respect for the Word of God. Ezra hadn't even read it. All he did was open it. And when he opened it, God's people, it's just like the Spirit was like putting them all like one person. And everybody stood. And they stood in awe and reverence and respect for God's Word. Because they had been in bondage. And they had been dealing with these false gods in Babylon for 70 years. And they come back and God was giving them another chance. Sound familiar? Amen. God was giving you another chance. And you decided this time, I want things to be right in my life. Amen. This time, I'm going to respect God's Word. The people stood up and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And all he did was open it. He didn't even read it yet. All he did was open it. This Bible's worth standing for. Are you getting what I'm saying on this? So the next conversation you get into with somebody about the Bible, and they start telling you, well, you know, there's mistakes in all the Bibles, and men wrote Bibles, and that's man's word, and this and that. Don't you think the Bible in your life is worth standing up for? Amen. And not backing down? Amen. And I know you're trying to be nice to kinfolk. I know you're trying not to start World War III among the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and everybody else. But don't let anybody tear down the Word of God in your presence and get away with it. Amen. I'm not saying you got to be mean about it. I'm just saying, and you know what? When you get mad, don't you stand up. Right? It's like Roy come in here one time. Big old black eye. Roy, what happened? Bonnie said, shut up. And I thought she said, stand up. So I stood up. That's your joke, Roy. Okay? When you get mad, don't you stand up? You don't take it. Listen, well, we have the expression. Well, I ain't going to take that sitting down. Just the act. We are showing our devotion or our dedication, or we're showing, look, I've listened to you long enough and I've about had enough of this. And you can talk about anybody else in the world, but you don't talk about my Bible. Amen. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And I want to tell you something. If you won't stand for the Bible will stand for itself. Amen. Something worth standing for. Can I hear you say amen? Number two, standing against the wiles of the devil. Now get ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Jimmy Carmichael, take your hand and go like this and put it right here. Okay? And hold that pose just for a minute, because I know, because as soon as I put this on the screen, well, you've already seen it though. You were in Sunday school, right? What, at Clemson? It is. They are. I'm just playing with you. Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles. You know what that means? Wile e coyote. Right? What was he doing? He was always scheming to get the Roadrunner. That's why they named him Wile-E. Wile-E. He was always plotting to kill the Roadrunner. Oh, and if I ever wanted to see my dad chuckle, Saturday morning, I mean, he would sit down with me and watch cartoons. When the Roadrunner come on, my dad would sit there and laugh like a little kid. And I was watching it the other day. I woke up and turned it on, and Looney Tunes was on. I was sitting there laughing in bed. Stand against the wiles of the devil. That means you've had it. And you're mad. And he's been pushing, and he's been trying to destroy, and he's been trying to trick you. And you're standing up and saying, I'm pushing back, devil. I've had it. Psalm 94:16, who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Clemson University. Look up there on screen. Clemson University. Yesterday, student Satanists announced they were going to sacrifice a lamb and have a Bible burning at Clemson University yesterday. The date was 3/11. Dun, dun, dun. Live bloodletting. You know what that means? Cutting themselves like the prophets of Baal did. Why? This is how we wake up our God. Make fun of them. Sorry. My God never sleeps. Amen. Sacrifice the lamb. Bible torching ceremony. They actually offered $25 reward to the person who brought the most Bibles to be burned. This was their God. Wicked! Who'll stand up against that? Amen. You see, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood here. By the way, these are the young people that in 20 years are going to be running everything. You see where we're going? Something's worth standing up against. Stand for those who cannot stand for themselves. Look at your Bible, Psalm 109:31. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. It is easy. Now you listen to me. Bethel Church, you listen to me. It is easy for us who have a full plate to condemn those who don't and offer up excuses and reasons why they're poor. And say, well, if they wanted anything, they should have done it for themselves. Listen, I get it. I think there's way too many people in welfare lines. I think there's way too many people on... Listen, I could, if I wanted to, qualify for disability. I could get me a big old disability pension and sit around home and watch talk shows all day long or whatever, sleep all day and stay up all night. I could do that. I could probably get away with it. I would rather work. Now, the guys that I'm in favor of, they just left here because they can't stay here as long as y'all. Those are the guys that I say, let's feed them good. Let's make sure they got all the health care they need and everything they need because they cannot do for themselves. And it is our responsibility to stand up for those who cannot stand up. I've known Frankie back there since they first started coming to this church. And if he could, he would stand with you guys. But he can't. If he could do for himself, he would, but he can't. We're supposed to stand up and help those. Your brother is over there fighting a war I can't fight. He's standing up for me. So it's only right that if I see somebody in need, I think we ought to stand up for them. Amen. Luke 18, it came to pass that as he come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Hearing multitude pass by, he asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. Look at how the religious crowd is treating the blind man. It's wicked. Ain't right. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And listen to me. The blind people are the ones who are blinded by sin. Look at what he's asking for. Mercy. And he's not going to stop crying until he gets it. Amen. That was me. Amen. That was me. Jesus stood and commanded. Look at Jesus did. He stood. You know why? Because Jesus looked at him and he said, you're worth standing for. Stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, what with thou should I do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. Amen. Stand up. Listen. Not everybody that is poor or needing something is a worthless deadbeat. Not everybody. Some people just need help. Maybe they just needed enough to get on their feet. Okay? I'm under commandment from the Scriptures. The Bible tells me, give to him that asketh. Now, I don't think I'm under obligation to give them everything that they want. And some people have abused our generosity here. I can live with that. I can live with that. Because it ain't my money to give anyway. And the day that I start getting stingy with people who are in need, I'll be the next one in line in need. I think you ought to stand up for your church. Oh, Psalm 134, behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Listen, this is the place you respect God. Amen. Amen? That means you don't be playing with your phone during church or your tablet. You don't be goofing off and talking because, listen, I'm watching you kids laughing. I'm standing up here preaching. And I'm watching kids laughing while I'm preaching. And I'm not looking at anybody because I already know who it is. Because I used to be you sitting there laughing and cutting up in church. And I got a whipping. Let's teach our children to respect this house. Stand up for your church. Psalm 135, praise ye the Lord, praise ye the name of the Lord, praise Him, O ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good, sing praises unto His name, for it is pleasant. Don't care if you can't carry a note. It's pleasant, amen. Sing. You got to look back every now and then and see Stacy back there. When we start singing, Stacy's already got his hymn book out. Now, Stacy only knows one word that I know of. Haircut. It's the only word he knows. But he loves it when we sing. And if he could, he would. You can. And you should. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now, I don't think I'm touching on any nerves here, because I don't, right now, I'm not aware of any bickering going on in this church. At times, I am aware of it, and you have no idea what it does to me. Okay? But it's like watching two of your best friends go at it. Whose side do you get on? Because you're going to lose no matter what. And I hate that. We're not supposed to strive against each other. We're supposed to strive together for the common faith and for the gospel. And when the devil strikes one of us, all the rest of us come over and say, come on, let me help you up. Let me help you up. Okay? Teammates. Right, Caleb? Teammates? Help you up? Wipe the dirt off? Pat you on the behind? Say, let's go again. We're not done yet. Caleb played the hardest game that he's ever played in his life yesterday. 66-12. They whooped Caleb's and team's behind all over that court. There was kids, they're supposed to be 13 years old, bearded. There was 15 of them, and half of them was taller, about as tall as... No, your name's not Garrett, your name is something else, but I'll take Garrett for now. And they walked out on that court, and there's five on Caleb's team. So they can't swap out. And you know what? He had to play that whole game. He had to play that whole game. Losing 66-12. That's how bad he got whooped. Did you know that God put us in a race to heaven? And He did not tell us to finish first. He told us to finish. And you don't finish a basketball game sitting on the sideline. You go out there and you keep throwing up shots and you keep trying to steal the ball and you keep trying to keep the other guy from shooting and you do whatever you can, but you don't quit. Losing is when you quit. Winning is when you keep going when you don't get the score. You still kept going. Isn't that right? Stand together. It's tough. Trust me, it is. I ain't kidding you. It's not been the worst week of my life, believe it or not. But it's up there. And there wasn't much standing in me this week. Not much left now. But I'm not about to quit. Don't believe in it. Standing as watchmen. Isaiah 21:6. For thus saith the... Let me show you where I'm going with this. The Lord said unto me, go set a watchman, let him declare what he seeth. And he saw a chariot with a couple of horsemen, a chariot of asses, and a chariot of camels. And he hearkened diligently with much heed. And he cried, a lion, my Lord, I stand continually upon the watchtower in the daytime. And I am set in my ward whole nights. Watchmen don't lay down. Amen. You ever stand guard? Punishment? Mostly, yeah. I see that in you. If they ever caught you sleeping while you were standing a post, what's the standard issue punishment for sleeping on a post? Big trouble? Jail? Brig? Am I right? Watchmen don't lay down. Let me tell you something. This is God's house. Roy! Stick your head in the door. The other door. The one we can see. There you go. Now, Roy is like 98 and a half years old. Roy has tried being a watchman over our church services, sitting on that pew back there. Roy, why don't you sit on the pew back there anymore, Roy? Okay. You didn't answer the question. Why don't you sit in that seat anymore, Roy? Because he always goes to sleep. That's not what he's telling you. He always goes to sleep back there. And he figured the best way to stand guard over my church is to stand guard. So he's out there in the foyer, standing. So he don't go to sleep. Your house, your family. That's your watchtower, guys. Ladies, mamas. In fact, mamas probably better at it than the dads are. Mamas always go, I don't like that kid. Stay away from that kid. Amen, she bears. Amen. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Things worth standing for. Your family's worth standing for. Your church, your faith, your Bible, your country. Picture this, okay? God calls walls and a hedge. We kind of get this idea of a hedge like, you know, hedge bushes. But a hedge basically is a wall that you build around a fort. That's your protection. Walls are salvation in the Bible. If you're saved, God's built a wall around you, and the devil's always looking for a place to get in. It's called a gap. So God tells us to stand in the gap. Wrong gap. Stand in the gap. I sought, that was pretty good. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy. But God said, I found none. God is calling for preachers and men in churches who see the gaps and the holes in their church because the devil's just coming in, just taking family members out, taking children out. Children growing up in church, and as soon as they hit 18 and head to college, they turn into Satan worshipers. Why? Because none of the men in the church would stand in the gap. None of the men in the church would actually take a stand and say, Pastor, don't you think we ought to be preaching against this? Pastor, don't you think we ought to take a stand against this? Pastor, well, you know, that might offend some people. Stand up for the old paths. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You know how you identify an old path? It has thee, thou, and ye in it.
Amen.
That is a 400-year-old path that has been leading people to victory for 406 years. Amen. It's been working ever since, hasn't it? We're supposed to stand for those old paths. Okay? Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And if you know me, you know I'm kind of a traditionalist. I think you ought to. There's certain things. I'm not an old stick in the mud. And I'm not one to say, well, we've always done it this way. I think we ought to keep it. Some things, I don't care if they go or not. Amen? Don't bring your soda in here. Don't bring your coffee cups and stuff like that in here. Don't do that. Don't wear your hat in here. You can. Ladies, you can. Guys, don't wear your ball caps in here. Boy, you ought to see, listen, you want to see me fired up? You ought to see me during a wedding rehearsal in this room. Because I've had to look at 20, 21-year-old punk guys who are standing here cursing up a storm during a wedding rehearsal and say, excuse me, this is the house of the Lord. Show some respect. Boy, I don't like that. Amen. Some things are still worth standing up for. Amen. And you got your kid there at McDonald's or Walmart, and there's some guy up there just dropping F-words everywhere. Let them have it, Dennis. Just say, excuse me, my kid's standing here, and we don't talk that way around my kids. And I had a guy look at me like, and I just went, what are you going to do? You're on camera. Go ahead, hit me. Go ahead. All the time I'm going, don't hit me. Don't hit me. Yeah, don't hurt me. But you know what? They're just, some of this nonsense got to go. We used to be a nation of morality, a decency. If sin, there was sin in this nation, but they kept it where sin needs to be. Not out there in public for everybody to look at. Make me mad. Stand for grace and liberty. Of whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And listen, if you want to get me fired up, you listen to me, I'm talking to Bethel Church. We're not streaming live right now, so this is y'all. Don't ever come into anybody in this church with something other than grace, or you will be on the fighting side of me. I don't put up with works. I don't put up with, well, you know, you got to obey God. You got to do this. You got to do. I don't put up with it. Listen, I got a real short fuse when it comes to grace. Okay? And if you're going to mess with the salvation of people by adding works to it, adding some kind of whatever it is, you're going to find that I got a fuse about that short. And if you don't want to see it, then just keep your mouth shut about it. If you want to see me cut loose, I will cut loose on you. I do not put up with it. I have been in church most of my life, and I have felt like a failure most of my Christian life. The reason being is it dawned on me that I could not do certain things right. And I get really, really put out when I see people, they try to slip in a church and then very subtly start adding works to grace. And when they do, I'll stand up and I'll say, you're not going to do that here. My people are weak. My people can't do a lot of things. My God stood up for them. My God stood up for us. He did. So stand fast, therefore, in that liberty wherewith Christ made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Some things worth standing up for. Amen. I'm done. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 7. Boy, I like this. Here's you going to heaven. Jesus enters into the great throne room, and you're going, hey, Jesus. Yeah, I always thought it would be like this. This is the cool heaven I envisioned, right? You better believe it's wrong. You better believe it's wrong. Look at this. Revelation 7:9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They didn't keep their seat. They didn't come in. Who was it I was talking to? They didn't come in, turn their hats sideways, pants hanging down to their knees. Come on. When are we going to wake up and realize young people in this country need some manners taught to them? Turn your hat right. Pull your britches up. Amen. Tuck your shirt in every now and then. Good grief. And a T-shirt is not a wife beater. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Why? They were clothed with white robes. Who put that on them? The Lamb did. And palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood. See, the angels knew better. Angels don't sit around going, "Well, here comes Jesus again. Wonder what he wants now." That's all we do. It's just go here and go there. Got messages. Got to carry this. Got to... Angels don't... Well, the angels that do that, they're going to go visit the lake of fire and brimstone. All the angels stood around about the throne and about the elders and four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom." By the seven things here. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation." That's where I've been all week. I ain't kidding you. I've been a mess this week. Laying on my couch in tears. In tears. Poor Lisa had to sit there and watch me. Not anything she could do for me. And we sit and eat dinner last night. Lisa grabbed her phone and she looked at it. She said, "Megan wants to know if you're preaching tomorrow." I said, "Yeah." You know why? I figured he's worth standing for. Because I've come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Remember those white blood cells? Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne, sweetie pie, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Ain't that worth standing for? Ain't that worth standing for? He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Let's not fail to teach this generation manners, respect for elders, respect for uniforms, respect for the house, respect for mama.
Amen.
Daddies, teach them boys and girls, listen. Been married to your mother for blah, blah, blah years, and I'm telling you, you want to walk on that side, you go ahead. I'm standing back here, out of the way. Teach them that, amen. In teaching that generation that there is something worth standing for, something worth standing against, they'll make it. But these little lilies that had to have a therapy session because Hillary didn't get elected, the beast is going to come in and walk right over the top of them. Something worth standing for. Y'all come back 4:00, all right? Father in heaven, thank you, dear God, for blessing us today. Thank you, dear God, Lord, for helping me to stand today. It's by your grace and nothing more. I pray, dear God, for your help and your mercy. Pray, God, that you bless these people. Lord, I love them. They are my best friends in the whole world. I would not want to go through life without them. And I ask you, God, Lord, to help us, Lord, with our ministry. Help us to withstand the wiles of the devil. Father, give us the victory, Father. Use us for your glory and your kingdom's sake. Forgive us of our sins, because it is only by your grace that we're able to stand anyway. So, Father, when we stand, we are standing for your grace and for the freedom and the liberty that you've given us. Father, bless your people today. Dismiss them in your care in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Y'all, come back. 4 o'clock now.